Folks, each time we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, one of the very first things that we do is examine our consciences and then seek God's mercy. And we do this because we believe that God is just. We say, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. And then the celebrant announces the absolution by saying, may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. And the congregation responds with a resounding amen. When we respond to God in that way, we are also confessing that God is not only just, but God is merciful. And the experience of the mercy of God leads us to break forth in song, and that is why we sing the Gloria. So really, this contrast between we being sorrowful for our sins, and then just in the very next moment, we break out into praise. This contrast is what I want to focus on today. Because this contrast we also see, as I said in the introduction, in the readings today. So one moment we are sorrowful, the next moment we are singing out in praise. And really speaking, this contrast is also the spirit of Advent. For 4 weeks, we lay low. We examine our lives. We see where we can create a highway for our God. Where do we need conversion? And then Christmas time, we broke forth in song. So what I want to do in this homily today is to focus on a couple of things, but creating contrast. The contrast between the justice and the mercy of God. Between the call for conversion and the experience of the joy of God. Today's readings present this contrast very well. So as I said in the introduction, Isaiah is very comforting and consoling. Now, I did not preach the homily here last week, but in my homily, I had focused a lot on the exile of the people of Israel in Babylon. Today's reading is a continuation of that reading, of that exile. The exile is about to end after 70 years. God says, comfort, comfort my people. The gospel reading, on the other hand, is a far cry from comfort and consolation. Mark, in today's gospel reading, challenges more than he comforts. His message is a call to conversion. When we think of John the Baptist, we generally don't think about comfort. This man who wore camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, lived on locusts, on wild honey. He appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So in my 3 points today then, let me talk about the mercy and justice of God between the call to conversion and experiencing the joy of Christ. Much has been written about the justice and the mercy of God. If God is just, how can God also be merciful? Does God's mercy cancel out God's justice? Numerous literature exists about this. Folks, we know God to be just. And God's got to be just. God has got to be just, because if God was not just, then the entire foundation of our human moral life would collapse. There would be no expectation from us to act in righteousness. If God was not just then good and bad, right and wrong, holiness and sinfulness wouldn't matter because it just doesn't matter. God's justice gives us the confidence that we will be treated with righteousness. So we have to acknowledge the justice of God. But God is also merciful. See, here is what I believe. I believe that God acts justly, but God's final act is mercy. God always acts with justice, but God's final act is an act of mercy. The story of the exile makes precisely this point. The comfort that we hear Isaiah proclaim came after 70 years of exile. And why did they go into exile? Because they had sinned. The 70 years in exile gave people the time to repent. There was true conversion, and we heard that in last Sunday's readings, where people acknowledged their sins. The exile was God's justice. God is just. The exile was God's justice, but that's not where the story ends. The story ends with God comforting his people. And that is why I said God acts in justice, but God's final act is the act of mercy. And I think for this, for us, especially for me, this is very hopeful news. In other words, no matter how deep we might be lost, God's mercy is God's final act. The mercy of God will never fail us. Secondly, as real and final is God's mercy, so real is the call to conversion. See, sometimes we don't think of Advent as much of as a time for conversion. That's for Lent, right? But really, Advent too does not cease to call us to conversion. It is important for us to remember that the exile was preceded by God's relentless call for conversion. The entire prophetic tradition, all the prophets that we know, are really prophets of conversion. In fact, the prophetic tradition is made necessary because of the need for conversion. The people always sinned. The people always were unfaithful. People always failed. And the prophets would call these people to conversion. The prophetic literature is necessitated, as it were, by the call for conversion. The common phrase in today's first reading and the gospel reading is, "In the desert prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wastelands a highway for our God." You find that phrase in both the readings. And this is how the prophets call us during the season of Advent for conversion. Today, folks, then, right in the middle of this Advent, we are in the second Sunday of Advent, I think we must examine our lives. We truly must. And we ask ourselves, where is it in my life that I need to make a highway for our God? The comfort of the coming of Christ awaits us. Now, of course, as Israel, we can choose not to hear that call to conversion. On the other hand, if we do, then the mercy, the healing, the forgiveness, the wholeness that God gives, that can be ours as well. You know that this coming 14th, this coming week, we have the Sacrament of Reconciliation here for Advent. So it would be a great opportunity for us to heed this call for conversion and respond accordingly. And thirdly, as I said just a little bit, a little while ago, unlike Lent, the times before and after Christmas, season of Advent and afterwards, are associated with a certain amount of playfulness, isn't it? Christmas is like a fun holiday to prepare for. There's a certain amount of playfulness, a certain amount of frivolousness, a certain amount of careless gaiety, if you want to call it. At the end of it all, the feasting, the gifts, the family enjoyment dominate our celebrations, and rightly so. We should not feel guilty about rejoicing what God has done. Gosh, God is in our midst. We've got to rejoice and we celebrate. So this is the right spirit. The coming of Christ calls for rejoicing. The experience of redemption calls for feasting and family merriment. Just like at Mass, conversion leads to joy. Same thing with Christmas. There is always a danger, however, that our feasting and our merriment are empty celebrations. That our celebrations originate not from an experience of redemption. That our joy is devoid of conversion. Every Advent, we stop singing the Gloria. We did not sing the Gloria today. We wait. We wait because the church is given an opportunity to respond to the call of conversion. We will sing the Gloria now only at Christmas time, when the Redeemer has come and set us free and reconciled us to the Father. Yes, so the joy is so well deserved, but may that joy that we experience during Christmas come because we are responding to the call to conversion. And I think that is what our liturgy is saying really today. The contrast between joy and the call to conversion. Between the justice of God and the mercy of God. That's the focus of our liturgy today. We have already been forgiven our sins at this Eucharist, and here very soon we are going to receive Christ, who has given us mercy. Mercy is God's final act. Today, may we experience that mercy so that at Christmas time we can break forth into rejoicing because we have been comforted by our God. People of God said, please rise and let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man.